You're listening to the WYXR Archived, powered by listeners like you. Donate online today at WYXR.org.
Welcome once again to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. We're coming to you tonight from Clarksdale, Mississippi, in the Juke Joint Festival. Thank you. Welcome to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. As I mentioned, we're at the Juke Joint Festival, deep in the heart of the blues in downtown Clarksdale, Mississippi. Beautiful crowd, a beautiful evening out here tonight. Our guest tonight, y'all have come on a very nice night. We've got novelist Ace Atkins is here. Ace is here. He's got two books out currently. His latest book he just wrote last year, and a reissue of the 25th anniversary of his book all about this area of the world is called Crossroad Blues, y'all. We're going to talk all about that. And to bring it home tonight, one of your favorites, actually two of your favorites, Mr. Charlie Musselwhite and Mr. Kenny Brown, right here on the stage, y'all. But we're mighty proud of this house band. Please bring them to the stage if you don't mind. It is the Yellow Bushwhackers, boys.
Thank you.
Fellow Bushwhackers, y'all, let him hear you, please. Our house band, we love them. Joe Eagles on the drums over here, Slade Lewis on the bass, Keon Love on the keyboards, and up front there, Paul Tate, our band leader and arranger, the Yellow Bushwhackers. Those of you who listen to our show know that we try to mix literature with music. Based in Oxford, you can imagine all the music we get that comes through there, and the literature. Couldn't be more delighted to be stationed here between the public library and your new brewery. Perfect place for us, y'all. All righty, if y'all don't mind, we're going to kick it off with a little blues music, if that's okay with y'all. I know you probably hear a good bit of that during the week. We've got our house band that we love so much, and we've got a special guest that's going to play a couple tunes with them, if y'all don't mind. Are y'all ready? How about Mr. Kenny Brown and Mr. Charlie Musselwhite and the Yellow Bushwhacker?
Thank you, thank you.
Charlie Musselwhite, let him hear you. And the Yellow Bushwhackers, our house band. Thank you, gentlemen. Charlie and Kenny and the band will be back later in our show. How about these guys? How about them? One more time, y'all. They've taken this blues music, Kenny and Charlie, all over the world, and I, for one, cannot think of two better ambassadors for the state of Mississippi to have these guys out there. So great. Thank y'all so much. Want to remind you that you are listening to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. You're hearing us on the stations of Mississippi Public Broadcasting, the stations of Alabama Public Radio, WUMS, University of Mississippi Radio, WUTC, Public Radio in Chattanooga, Tennessee, WUOT, Community Radio in Knoxville, Tennessee, and KNCE, True Taos Radio in Taos, New Mexico. We thank all our affiliates. We love all our listeners. Also, we'd like to thank our sponsors for today's show. Brought us over here on this beautiful day for this Juke Joint Festival. The good folks at Visit Clarksdale, the Mississippi Arts Commission, C Spire, Cathead Distillery, Crossroads Economic Partnership, the good folks at Visit Mississippi, Southern Bank Corps, the Mississippi Delta National Heritage Area, and of course, our host for the day, Red Panther Brewing Company. Also remind you, if you would like to help keep this show afloat, and by the way, arts funding is now more important than ever, we invite you to visit our website, thackermountain.org. More information on how you too can be a Thacker backer. Thank you so much. Keon Love, y'all. He's a Thacker backer. Thank you, brother. Alrighty, as I mentioned, we do like to mix literature and music with our show. I cannot think of a better author to have for this particular show than Mr. Ace Atkins, who loves blues music as much as anybody. And his first book has just been reissued, and it's called Crossroad Blues. He also has a book out that he put out last year in his regular series of detective novels called Don't Let the Devil Ride. It is set in Memphis, Tennessee, so this man just bleeds the South, y'all. Please welcome Ace Atkins.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Going to wrap a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about the book. Well, I'll tell you something, first of all, that's interesting is we're here in front of the library, in front of the Carnegie Library, and I remember coming here, boy, 30 years ago, and what took me to Clarksdale was I wanted to see where everything took place. You know, I wanted to see the blues history. And at that time, there really wasn't anywhere else to go. You know, it was, they didn't have necessarily what you have now with the blues markers and the trails and all the clubs and that kind of stuff. So it was essentially, the Delta Blues Museum was in the library. And then Jim O'Neill, I don't know if you remember Jim O'Neill, but he had a place called Stackhouse Records right around the corner. And you'd go over there and you get this thing called a Delta map kit. And it was like $5. And it was just a bunch of Xerox pages that had the sites of where, you know, Sonny Boy Williamson was buried and where, and all this kind of great stuff. And you would take a tour and there was a couple places that were open. There's a place around the corner too. I don't think it's there anymore called Sarah's Soul Kitchen. And you could catch a show with like Super Chicken on a Tuesday night and get some great, great soul food. And then the other place was a wonderful guy that there's a marker now with him.
Okay. Keep going, Pat.
All right.
You're
so
good.
Another place, and there's a marker there for him now, is I got to know Wade Walton, who had been a member of Ike Turner's band. And at the time, he was still, this was 30 years ago, which it just seems like the other day, he was still working over there cutting hair. He was a barber. And he was one of the few guys that would give you a straight razor shave. And again, you got to remember, he had been in Ike Turner's band. And so I'd been a few days in New Orleans. I hadn't gotten a shave. And I came here and I said, I got to get a shave from Wade Walton. And so he had the razor strop and he would do the razor strop and he was shaving me. And he was telling me all about Ike Turner. And he said, you know, all that stuff about Tina, that's not true. You know, Ike's a good guy. And he had that razor right next to my throat. And so I didn't say a word. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I know that's the truth. But this place has always been very special to me. And I'm so glad to see things like today where you got people coming for the Juke Joint Festival and 30 years, you know, on and celebrating blues in a big kind of heroic way.
Yeah, I was reading the reissue of the book, there's so many things in there. There's barely any internet, and there is internet, but it's not a whole lot. I was really impressed with your knowledge in the book about Robert Johnson. Even though this is a novel, a work of fiction, there's a lot of fact, and you obviously did a tremendous amount of research on Robert Johnson.
Well, you know, I'd like to say, Jim, I'd love to say I did a great amount of research and I was really good at it, but the truth of there was not a lot that was really known about him, you know, and I think everybody knows, you know, Robert Johnson as far as the legend now, and, you know, he's the guy that, you know, everybody celebrates. He was a part of this, you remember that big box set that came out in the 90s, and you know, everyone from the Rolling Stones to, you know, Led Zeppelin celebrates Robert Johnson, but he was a myth. He was just a ghost. And when he died in Greenwood, down in LaFleur County, it was just a sliver of information. And so a lot of that stuff, I had to kind of fill in the blanks. I had to kind of take that story and kind of extrapolate what the Johnson myth is all about. But one thing I really do, the thing about Robert Johnson that I really want to underscore is his brilliance, I don't think can ever be, you know, debated. I've heard people try to say, well, he was just another blues singer. He was one of many. But you take that work and it just inspired so many folks. And not only that, so many musicians, but it also inspired me as a writer. And so I'm, as a crime writer, always been very influenced by people like Raymond Chandler and Dashiell Hammett, but also the blues singers, you know, and the great writing, and Sonny Boy Williamson and Little Walter, Robert Johnson, Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, all that stuff that's core to the Delta, that's what brought me here. And it's been a big part of my life.
It's actually a great idea to have a blues historian go out and try to find some of these old blues guys to get more info on Robert Johnson. And you mentioned crime writing. This book is a murder mystery thriller type. You yourself, in real life, were a crime writer down in Tampa, Florida, right? So there's a lot of detective work involved in dealing with blues guys, especially these older guys that are disappearing.
Yeah, and it's not so much anymore, you know, but back in the day, you know, again, I'm talking about the myth of Robert Johnson is, you know, people like my buddy Gail Dean Wardlow back in the 60s, he would have come just to find out a sliver of information that he could publish in some kind of blues magazine about Robert Johnson's life to find these guys. And I think that would have been a very exciting time to be around. And even up until, I remember being here at one of the blues festivals back in the early 2000s and getting to spend some time with Honey Boy Edwards. Right. And Honey Boy Edwards was the traveling partner of Robert Johnson. And, you know, it seemed like, you know, just to be able to meet him. And unfortunately, that's getting to be less and less kind of thing. But one experience I did have, which was fantastic, was in the early 2000s, I came over to Greenwood. And there was a lot of debate surrounding how Robert Johnson died. Was he murdered? You know, did somebody poison his liquor? You know, was he taken by the devil? What happened to Robert Johnson? And we knew that there was a rumor of a woman who had been there when Robert Johnson passed away. And, you know, there had been so many faulty stories, that kind of stuff. Her name is Rosie Eskridge. And this guy, Gail Dean Wardlow, this blues researcher, you know, we went out and found her and we talked to her, and she was well into her 80s. And we sat down with her, and again, people at this point were kind of, you know, would make money about telling stories about famous blues singers, or some of it wasn't really, you know, necessarily true. But she was 100% authentic. She was a lovely woman. She actually walked out to the Zion Cemetery there in LaFleur County, not far, right off Money Road, and took us to the exact location where her husband at the time had buried Robert Johnson. And that was in the early 2000s, and told the story about his last days and showed me where he had. And there was no doubt, as a crime reporter, as a journalist, this woman was telling the authentic story. So it was one degree of separation from Robert Johnson, an amazing thing. Only in the Delta, only in Mississippi.
Man, that is for sure. Yes, yes. I want to quickly mention, we'll have you ask you to read a little bit, but I wanted to mention Nick Travers, who's our hero of Crossroad Blues. He is the researcher. But he has an interesting background, Nick does. He's a former New Orleans Saints football player who got kicked off of the Saints for beating up his coach on Monday Night Football, kicking him while he's down, and then for good measures, my favorite part, he took the Gatorade bucket and emptied it on the guy while he's on the ground. they kicked him off the team, and he becomes a blues historian.
Yeah, that was all wishful. That was, well, you know, and I came up with Nick Travers when I was in my early 20s, and I think being an ex-football player, that was wishful thinking for every football coach that I never liked.
Wait a minute. You played football?
I know it's hard to believe,
Joe.
How
is that?
Yeah.
You just was a shrimp.
Four or five years ago. It was that long ago. But, yeah, dude, Nick definitely, I was able to live out my fantasies through him.
Among Ace's many accolades, I think he's probably the only author we've had on Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. We've had some 600 now over 27 years who appeared on the cover of Sports Illustrated, ladies and gentlemen. That's right.
And Jim, as I always like to point out to you, a lot of people don't realize it was the swimsuit issue. The least selling, version.
My friend.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Very well done.
Thank you.
And speaking of accolades, I would be remiss if I'd mention this past month, Ace Atkins was awarded the 2025 Richard Wright Literary Excellence Award. That is one of the highest honors of writing in Mississippi. Some of the past winners of that award include Eudora Welty, Willie Morris, Shelby Foote, y'all's own Richard Ford over here, Barry Hanna, Natasha Trethewey, John Grisham, among others. And then a couple of weeks later, Ace was inducted into the Alabama Writers Hall of Fame. Past inductees include Harper Lee of To Kill a Mockingbird, Gay Talese, Truman Capote, Ralph Ellison, Winston Groom of, Forrest Gump, and of course, Brad Watson, the late Red Watson. So, on the field and off, on the typewriter and off, 30 books now, y'all. One of the best writers in America, Ace Atkins.
So I'm going to read a little bit from Crossroad Blues, and this is, again, very special, guys, that I get to do this here in Clarksdale, a place where I visited 30 years ago, which time passes so fast, to research this novel. Chapter 9, Crossroad Blues. Mississippi Delta driving is about the white dots of cotton stretched forever flat, like the tiny points of an impressionist painting. It's about the crooked crosses of wooden electric poles that edge the two-lane highway lined with farm supply stores, barbecue joints, squat cone-top silos, and the windowless, burned-out 1930s gas stations. It's the deep maroon of a rusted tin roof above a weathered clapboard shack, and the skeleton of a sun-parched tree, dead-rooted in stagnant water, or the fallen cotton caught in the highway gravel. The images were clear, caught in Nick's mind's eye like the Technicolor stamp. It was good to be out of New Orleans, he thought, as he hit the beats of a Muddy Waters song on the steering wheel. He felt like a bear who'd just gotten his big ass kicked out of a cave. There wasn't a neon sign or strip joint in sight. But he kept on thinking about being on Robert Johnson's trail, thinking about the details of his life, new information that could gain for this character Baker, instant fame on the lecture circuit, maybe books. Almost every blues history devoted almost an entire chapter to the legend. Nick had read so many on Robert Johnson's life, he could recite the details in some kind of twisted mantra. Being in Mississippi, it wasn't hard to imagine Johnson rambling down these same highways, cutting across railroad tracks and dirt roads with Johnny Shines or Honey Boy Edwards, thumbing a deep ride deep into the muggy Mississippi night, their stomachs growling from hunger, rich mud caked to their shoes. It had to have been exciting to live in what Johnny Shines later recalled an exploratory world. Johnson traveled all over to places like St. Louis, Detroit, Chicago, and New York, sometimes deciding to hop a train at a whistle's notice. His trademark was leaving a room without ever saying goodbye. Perhaps the permanence was seldom known by his family. His mother, Julia, was married to a wicker furniture maker in Hazelhurst named Charles Dodds. And then I go in a little bit about his history. Johnson wasn't interested in farming or education. He'd already found a new way to string baling wire on the side of a house and pick out Leroy Carr's How Long Blues. He took up jew's harp and harmonica and was sneaking out at night to watch men like Charlie Patton. the blues was edging into his life. It was a time of late-night jukes, whiskey, and women, though that all stopped when he met a young girl who took his life into a big U-turn. As hard as it was for Nick to believe, Robert Johnson, the laid-back, somewhat arrogantly neat musician, started plowing behind a mule. He'd married a girl all of 16 named Virginia Travis and settled down, and he was a proud man. And when she became pregnant, once even mentioning to her brother-in-law, getting on him for driving so fast, said, "Hey, careful, man, my wife is percolating." The happiness didn't last, though. Virginia and the child died in labor. People blamed Johnson because what they thought he was playing was the devil's music. Rather than fight it, Johnson cloaked himself in the stigma. It shrouded him and perhaps even made people fear him in a strange way. Johnson wasn't a big man. He was small-boned with delicate hands and wavy hair. And back then, bad mojo was better than a gun. The superstitions remained. Mississippi was, in many ways, a time capsule. So much of the sameness that dominated America hadn't dawned on the Delta, and Nick loved the region for it. And that was the most important thing about grabbing all the folklore he could before all the franchises and strip malls took the color out from the last cultural frontiers. The blues got the railroad and levee camp workers through a life that was as bad as the serfs in medieval England. They gave roots to an internal rhythm of the spirit that beat as steady as a human heart. Beyond the pretentiousness of Mozart and jazz, the blues was riding through all the BS and grabbing the listeners by the balls and saying, "This is what it's all about." It was a bearing of the soul that chafed a man's spirit raw, a deceitful woman, being broke, and a painful loneliness of a man living in sensory deprivation, cut off from sound and human contact. And that's surely what Johnson sang about. Thank you guys very much.
Ace Atkins, y'all, one more time for him, please. Ace Atkins, the award-winning Ace Atkins. Ace will join us after the show at the Thacker Mountain Radio table right over there in the courtyard with the nice red tablecloth. He will sign copies of Crossroad Blues as well as his latest one, Don't Let the Devil Ride. Both of them fine books, and if you love music, he manages to work in a lot of music, obviously, as you heard from that reading, as well as your favorite barbecue joints and places to eat and dives and nice diners, and he covers the whole spectrum. Just a really fine writer. Puts this blues stuff on the page, which you can imagine how difficult that is. Makes it come alive. Really appreciate Ace being here. Really good stuff. We'll see y'all after the show right over there at the table. Be a lot of fun. We might even have a cold beer while we're over there. I hear they make them here. All righty. Y'all, Kenny Brown has been touring, recording. He worked with the great R.L. Burnside for years. They toured the world beginning in the early 1970s, y'all. At one point, Cedric joined him as the drummer all throughout the 2000s. Kenny has recorded with all your favorite blues folks, but he's also recorded with Hank Williams Jr., the Black Keys. I believe he has a new Black Keys record coming out. Dale Hawkins, and even that known blues songstress, Cyndi Lauper. That's right. Now, you also know our good buddy, Mr. Charlie Musselwhite. He has a brand new song out. It is called Storm Warning. It is from his upcoming album called Lookout Highway. You know Charlie has played with everybody. You know his wonderful career from Mississippi to Chicago. I'm a big fan of his previous album, the Alligator Records album called Mississippi Sun, where he not only blows that harp, he plays a mean guitar. Do not kid yourself, ladies and gentlemen. He too has played with everybody from Tom Waits, Eddie Vedder, Cyndi Lauper, the aforementioned, and this year he'll be collaborating with none other than Elvin Bishop, Mr. Elvin Bishop. Between the two of them, 100 years of blues. They'll also be appearing at Kenny's festival that he co-founded with his wife Sarah. That is the North Mississippi Hill Country Picnic in the end of June. I don't think we'll be wearing sweaters at that event, ladies and gentlemen. You never know, though. But this is a real treat. So glad y'all are here to witness this. This is the real stuff. Please welcome Kenny Brown and Charlie Musselwhite.
Brains out, baby, make you lose your mind. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Baby.
She still looks good to me.
Thank you.
Thank y'all, thank y'all. Charlie Musselwhite over here. Joe Eagle on drums.
Kenny Brown on guitar, y'all. Let them hear you. The real deal, baby. How about it? Charlie Musselwhite, Kenny Brown, thank you so much. We'd also, let's thank all our guests, if you don't mind. How about Mr. Ace Atkins, y'all? Thank you so much, Ace. Ace will join us. He's at the book table right now, signing books, drinking beer, not necessarily in that order. We invite y'all to tune in every Saturday night here in Clarksdale for the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. We'll be on at 7 p.m. every Saturday night, on air and online. More information about this show, 26 years on the air, ladies and gentlemen, at thackermountain.org. We would love for y'all to join up and be members. We have membership sign-ups over there. We'll send you, I think, 2 emails a week. We won't go crazy. And we always have a great show like this, so please join with us and keep the blues and literature alive. We love it. We're going to get one more tune from our wonderful house band. We appreciate y'all so much for inviting us to be a part of the Juke Joint Festival. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful weekend, not only the weather-wise, but because of all you folks. I saw you dancing out here. I know what you can do. Yes, ma'am, I saw you. Yes. We're all going to dance one more time, and we will see you on the radio. Thank you.
Get on the right track, baby. Get on the right track, baby. Get on the right track, baby. Come back home, treat me wrong again. Get on the right track, baby. Get on the right track, baby. Get on the right track, baby. Come back home, treat me wrong again. Been so blue and lonely, tried both night and day. No longer, it's one more time. Back if you won't stay on the right track, baby. Get on the right track, baby. Get on the right track, baby.
Executive Director is Lucy Gaines. Our Production Director is Tim Lee. Our Broadcast and Post-Production Engineer is Jeffrey Reed. Our Front of House Engineer is Blake Gardner.
Support for WYXR comes from Crosstown Brewing Company. Events and live music the entire month of June with WYXR DJ Chris Rowling hosting Sip and Spin on Saturday, June 28th. And Grateful Dead cover band Spaceman's Dead Friends playing Sunday, June 29th at 2 p.m. More information on these events and full event calendar can be found at crosstownbeer.com.
All right.